Second Chronicles, chapter number 7, and verse number 14. Second Chronicles is in the Old Testament. Don't mix it up with Corinthians. Second Chronicles 7:14. If you have it there, let's just stand together. If you don't have it, act like you do. And, and I want us to read that verse aloud together, okay? We'll just read it aloud together and in unison here. Ready? Begin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to be the kind of people you describe right here in this verse. Lord, America's in trouble tonight. We know that. And Lord, we know that we would like to point the finger and say it's somebody else's problem, that we're good people, we're Christian people, and we are, and we want to do right. But Lord, we also know we carry some responsibility in this matter. God, help us to be faithful. And I pray, Lord, that you could send revival in America. And Lord, we believe that you are able if we would be willing. And I pray that we will be willing. And Father, we give you the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for reading that with me. People love David because he was a king, but he also wasn't perfect. And it gives us hope, doesn't it? Because there's not a good man. The Bible says there's not a good man on earth there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Right. Not a one of us. So it gives us hope. If God could be a man after God's own heart, maybe we could too. A man, a woman, a young person could be a person after God's own heart. To say, I'm after him. I want to get as close to him as I can. I want his hand on my life. I want his blessing. Well, what will it take to revive America? 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I want us to just think about it for a moment. Number one, he said, if my people who are called by my name. God said, I want to put the responsibility for this thing on the church. The church people. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus said it's his church, and we are members of his body, and we have a responsibility. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, we call ourselves Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. God said, that's what I want to do. God's not looking for an opportunity to condemn us and cast us into hell. He could have done that a long time ago if that's what he wanted to do. We give him plenty of reason. But he said, if my people, Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says this, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You see, God said, I've given them that living water, but they're trying to do it themselves. They want to get the glory. They want to get the honor. They want to say, look what I did. You see, our man-made religions and philosophies and systems won't hold water. They're broken cisterns. They just won't hold water. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to quit saying, look what I did, look what I can do, give me some glory, let me shine. Listen, God will exalt you in due season. If you're worthy of it, and what, most of the godliest Christians that I've known don't even want the recognition. They have that humility. And they say, well, God's been good. God opened the door. God did it. God did it. God did it. And God did do it. If it got done, God did do it. He may have used you as an instrument and a vessel to get it done. And if that's the case, you rejoice in that. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Amen. Great things he had done. Maybe he'll do it again.
Amen.
And maybe he'll use you even further in an even greater way. But he said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. And again, Jeremiah said, you're guilty of two evils. You've forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And again, our man-made religious systems and philosophies won't hold water. And Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, he said this, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their own means, and my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? He said, look, he said, you're getting this thing all backwards. The prophets prophesy falsely. Why would they do that? Because they want people to like them. They don't want a man of God that's going to stand up and look them in the eye and say, you need to get right with God. You need to live right. You need to dress right. You need to speak right. You need to get the alcohol, the booze, the filthy pornography, and whatever else it is. You need to get those things out of your life. It's not just being religious and going through the motions. Religion will send you to hell. Jesus Christ wants to save you, but if he saves you, his desire then, now that you're one of his people called by his name, he wants to change you more and more into his image day by day. We'd be stunned. Stand up, fellow. How old are you?
11.
11? How tall are you? 4'8". Well, when you're 18, you'd like to be about 4'9". Oh, you wouldn't? What would you? You want to be growing, don't you? You'd really be worried if this time next year you use the same height or maybe shrunk a little. That would worry you, wouldn't it? But Christians, they get to a certain level and you sing I'm satisfied with Jesus, but what you really mean is I'm satisfied with me. I give this amount. I've been giving that amount for years. You know, I'm not saying, I don't know what your financial responsibility is. I don't know what your financial opportunity is, but that's between you and God. Right. But I'm saying in some area of your life, you ought to be growing.
Right. Yeah.
I predict you'll be about 6 foot when you're 20, 18, 20. You'll be about 6 foot. Not next year. Probably be able to dunk on the rim. You know, thank you, buddy. There's nobody that doesn't want to grow.
Right.
You want to grow in your financial security. You know, retirement's coming. And you want to grow in your personality. You want to have good friends. You want to on and on we could go with this thing. If you're a kid, you want to grow physically. You want to grow up. You want to become an adult. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means. It's just whatever is going to profit me by their own means. They're going to do what they do for themselves. And they're going to do what they are capable of doing. They're not going to believe God to work through them to do something that's just amazing. To reach out to a lost and dying world and to make a difference in people's lives. He said, my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? A lot of compromise going on in the world today. A lot of people that used to stand strong have sort of let it down just a little bit. Especially when they're not around church people and what they watch on television or the language they're willing to put up with flowing into their living room from the idiot box. I remember Brother Brown out in Iowa. Remember Brother Brown? He used to take the televisions and sledgehammer them and stuff during his preaching. We're not going to do that today. A nation is a lot like a church. I want you to think about this. It's made up of people. And God's people must realize that revival or ruin depends more on us, people right here in this room, It depends more on us than any other group of people in the world.
Yes, sir.
We need revival.
Yes, sir.
In our hearts and in our lives. So we need to, he said, if my people, and then there has to be that humility. That humility. We can't confuse patriotism and spirituality.
Right.
Well, we got to be careful of false pride.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm a patriot. I'm pro-America all the way, and I've got on the back end of my car out there, I got a little thing that says, if you're thankful, if you enjoy your freedom, thank a vet. You know, that kind of, how many veterans in the room here today? Several all around there. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you for your service. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be proud of our country. We ought to thank God for it. When the sports people started kneeling for the national anthem and not looking at the flag and kneeling, and that was the end. I went 2 years, never watched a sports event. But then one day, one of the football players almost died on the field, and suddenly everybody wanted to pray. Wasn't that amazing? And I said, well, maybe they've had a new insight about this thing. I hope so. But humility. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. We need humility. You know what? God doesn't know any big shots. I know I pastored one church for a long time, and the church grew from less than 60 to 1,200 or something like that. And we were able to build some big buildings and have some big events and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think God was pleased, but I don't think he was impressed.
Come on.
You get to see a difference there. I think I was pleased because he got all the glory for it. Lonnie Mattingly couldn't do that. But God allowed us to gather some people around who were willing to roll up their sleeves and work and believe God and give and pray and go soul winning. And God blessed those things. And I know Brother Jerry, I know those things are promoted right here in this church. And you can say 50 years, how you'd be amazed how many churches across America never make 50 years. That this is a mile marker. And you've made these 50 years, and it hadn't happened. There's just a couple of men named Ross who pastored this church who believed God and were willing to make that commitment, willing to step out by faith, willing to go further than they could, stay longer than they should, and do a work for God. And boy, praise the Lord.
Amen.
As a result of that, many of you people that are right here in this room said, hey, you know what? I believe the Bible too. The preacher's not the only one in this room that believes the Bible. I believe the Bible too. So he's trying to do what the Bible says. I'm going to try to do what the Bible says. Let the Word of God be the authority. Let it be the authority in your life. We can't be the authority. I need to humble myself and say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's a matter of surrendering fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what will it take to revive America? It'll take a sincerity on the part of God's people. It'll take a genuine humility. And again, we can't confuse patriotism and spirituality. Well, we've got to be careful of false pride at the same time. But again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So number one, it's my people called by his name. Number two, it's humility. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And then he said, and pray. You know, God desires for you to pray. God wants to hear from you. You say, well, I don't need anything right now. So prayer's not just asking and receiving. That is that. It includes that, but it's not just that. It's not, oh, I need something now, so I think I'll go pray. Oh, things aren't going the way that I thought they should. I better go pray. Oh, somebody I love is sick and on their deathbed. I better go pray. Asking, it's not just asking based on some emergency need that I have right now, although I'm 100% for praying in every emergency. But it's also a matter of walking with God and talking with God and not just and having a prayer life. Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God and thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Solomon's son Rehoboam, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. There's just something about wanting the blessings of God that will motivate you to look for something, to seek God, to seek his hand, his blessing on your life. What will it take to revive America? It'll take his people humbling themselves and praying and seeking God's face. That's what he said. It's right. It's in the book. The wonderful book that God gave us, the instructions for life and for victory and for blessing and for help. Bible says, the next one, he said, turn from their wicked ways. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, it's time to quit playing religion and start practicing righteousness. Quit playing religion and start practicing righteousness. Look, evaluate your own life. Don't wait for God to knock you down to get your attention. Instead, stop and evaluate your life. It may be there's some folks in this room wouldn't have to change anything. But it might mean some have to quit your gossiping. You know, there are a lot of sins that are not obvious to the world. You've got sins that won't cause sclerosis of the liver. Like lying, gossiping, carrying hatred in your heart. On and on we could go. That's another whole different sermon. But he said, turn from their wicked ways. Ezekiel 14:6 says, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Turn away your faces from all your abominations. Amen. Instead of looking to them, we ought to be looking away from them. Turn your faces from them. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 through 32. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, there whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. God's talking to us here. God is pouring out his heart to us. He said, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to die before your time. But I don't want you to die. I want you to live. But you're going to have to turn from your sin. Is there anything in your life that you're justifying, saying, well, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but. You know what you got? You got billy goat religion. You go around butting everything. Well, I know I shouldn't go there, but on and on, you know, there's a 100 things. I know I shouldn't drink that, but I know I'm killing myself overeating. But I'm amazed at the lost person that says, you talk to them, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I haven't done anything that bad. I'm even more amazed at the attitude of many Christians. They have that pitchfork religion. You know what I'm talking about? They're trying to pass the blame to somebody else. Right. Oh, it's not my problem. Right. It's those people over there, back there. Got that pitchfork religion, looking to pass the blame. Well, yeah, I would have done it, but you know, these people around here, they just won't do it. Well, you can do it. Rise up and build and make a difference in your life, and let it be contagious. Let it be contagious to your siblings, to your children, and let it be contagious to the generations that follow. Let others see Jesus in you. We sing that song and it sounds good. Well, let's go out and live it. He said, God said, listen, this is amazing. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I don't know what wicked way might have popped in your mind just now. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to start guessing. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you if you'll ask Him. Lord, if there's anything in my life that keeps me from having the fullness of your blessing and your help and your protection and your guidance in my life for my sake, for my children, for my loved ones, for my friends, for my coworkers, for my neighbors. See, you've got this big circle of influence that you don't even think about. Right. People are watching you. People are watching you. They know you go to church. They see that car at the same time every Sunday, back out the drive and pull off the thing, and everybody's dressed pretty decent, you know, and they look nice. They know you're not going swimming every week at that time. They know what you're, and they're watching you. Then they hear you out in the backyard having an argument. They think, boy, I thought that guy was religious or something, you know. Boom, there goes the testimony. There goes the influence. There goes the opportunity. So you go knock on his door with a track in your hand, say, I want to invite you to church. Well, what church you go to? That one's okay, I'm going to go to that one. You know, I don't think they live at home like you do, you know. I don't know. But you have a circle of influence. The people where you work, they're watching you whether you know it or not, because you've professed to be a Christian. You've said something about, oh, last Sunday at church, this one guy, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you let it slip out every now and then that you're a Christian. Or you might be that bold witness who said, God, clean me up. Show me other things that need to be straightened out in my life and help me to be a living testimony. I have a circle of influence out here, God, and I want to influence them for good, not for bad. I want to be a blessing. I want to be used. Allow God to use you. He said, turn from your wicked ways. Quit passing the buck. Quit practicing that billy goat religion. Quit being a pitchfork Christian, you know. He said this. God said, you do all those things, then will I hear from heaven. And will forgive your sin. And will heal your land. You know, one of the big differences in America right now, I basically grew up with understanding in the 50s when I was 10, 12, 14, up through that era. When I was a young teenager and then on up through the teen years, I grew up in there in the early 60s. And we're living in a different America right now. It's different. There were problems then. Sure there were. There were gangs. There were drugs. There was alcohol. I want to tell you something. Right across the river, the biggest producer of deadly drugs, that we think it's coming from China into Mexico and into America, and fentanyl, right? You've heard that.
Come on.
70,000 people died last year, fentanyl overdose or whatever. Did you know 140,000 people died in America last year in alcohol-related deaths? And we're so proud, we folks from Kentucky, we're the bourbon capital of the world. Well, that's something to be proud of, isn't it? And if you don't get hooked on that, we've got gambling. We run the races. Just had a big one, didn't we? And Christians were glued to it. Some of them may have even had a little side wager. I don't know. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, God said, if you want me to save America and you want to be part of it, you're one of my people called by my name, then quit living like you're not. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, it's time we get on our knees and say, oh God, it's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I need you to move in my life. Help me. Show me what I need to do. Give me the courage to do it. I know family will think you've gone nuts. Then will I hear from heaven. And we'll forgive your sin. And we'll heal your land. I didn't say that. God said it. I'm just telling you what God said. I get so fed up with some of these young fundamentalists. I'm an old fundamentalist now. I'm old school. No, well, I'm not. I'm just old. And some of these young, they'll read some Bible standard, and they'll say, yeah, but that doesn't really mean that. What that means is blah 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 blah. All of a sudden, they're reinterpreting definitions and all this thing to justify. You know, there are those come as you are churches, and we got the rock band, we got the entertainment, we got the everything. Come as you are, and leave as you came. Nothing's going to change. Think about that. You ought to thank God for Brother Jerry.
Right.
Holding the line.
Right.
Said, well, you could have more people here. Look, you don't compromise to bribe people to come to church by trying to make Christianity non-confrontational. You could just, might as well be wallpaper, just kind of blend into the background. That's the way a lot of people are living today. And they think it's good because if it feels good, do it. And it feels good and it's a comfort zone for them, but they've never had the opportunity to really experience what it means to be a sold out Christian, loving God, serving Him. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. How much do you love America? Would you like to have the land healed?
Come on.
Would you like to see some of these atrocities that are going on everywhere, the hatred, the anger, the racial tensions, unbelievable. All those things. Wouldn't you like to see God move across America?
Amen.
And the place to be is to be in the house of God, serving God. We can fill the football stadiums and the baseball stadiums and the colleges and in the pro teams and everything else. We can fill them to overflowing and who knows what all's going on there. We make heroes of the zeros. I'm not condemning all athletes. I think there's some good Christian athletes out there. But the truth is, they're a courageous, small minority. And we need some people to be courageous enough to help build the majority, to reach some more people, to get busy going soul winning, to do the work that God has called you to do.
Amen.
If you've truly been born again, know that heaven is your ultimate home. But you know there's unconfessed sin or ongoing disobedience in your life. Then what you've done is you've made yourself unavailable to God. So, you know, you ought to fix that. You could start by fixing it today. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you're saved, God wants you to come to Him. He wants to save you. We're sinners. There's a payment for sin. God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to make that payment on our behalf. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's talking about the world of people. He's not talking about the dirt. He's talking about the people. God so loved the world that He gave. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him. I'm talking about true, genuine believers. Not folks that just flippantly say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe He came. I believe whatever. I'm talking about they've truly believed. They know they're a sinner. They know there's a payment for sin. They know that Jesus came and died on that cross to make that payment on their behalf and now offers them the free gift of salvation if they're willing to believe Him and repent of their sin and receive Him, invite Him into their life. He'll forgive them. He'll save them and guarantee them a home in heaven when they die. Bible says they shall never perish. That's a guarantee. It's amazing. I think God is angry with our sin, but not God loves you. And He wants you to be part of the family, of His family, if you're not 100% sure that you're saved. If you are 100% sure you're saved, hopefully you've followed the Lord in baptism and you're growing in Christ and you're committed to Him and you're looking for or have found that place of service and you've plugged in and you're doing a work for God and you have a burden for souls and you never leave church without a pocket full of tracts and hopefully by the time you come back next Sunday, you got to reload, shot up all your ammunition. You're giving out tracts. You're sharing your testimony. Tell us, somebody, hey, did I ever tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me? And give your testimony. Find yourself a way to give a one-minute testimony. How my life was before I was saved, how I trusted Christ, and how my life has been since I've got saved. Just that 60-second testimony. Before I was saved, I was miserable. I didn't know where I'd spend eternity. I felt guilty half the time. I just didn't know what I was going to do with my life. But then one day somebody told me how Jesus died for my sins and would save me. And I trusted Him as my Savior. And ever since then, my life has been different, completely different. I have new goals, new vision, new optimism. I'm excited about going to heaven one day. That was less than a minute. Do you have a testimony that you can give? Yeah, you don't have to go into all the ugly details. Sometimes it sounds like people are bragging. You know, well, before I got saved, I was deep into pornography, and I was an alcoholic, and I was a gambler, and I won a lot of money, but I did pretty good. But I know that's not right. And it's almost like they're bragging about how life was before they got saved. Now I'm that dull Christian. I think being a saved man, a saved woman, a saved young person is the most exciting life in the world. It's exciting. And I hope that you'll get in on it. Because God wants to, I believe God, why would God give us this formula if He didn't want to use it? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. God said, until all that happens, it's like there's this wall, titanium wall here, and I can't even hear you. But you get those things right, that wall comes down. Then will I hear from heaven. We'll forgive their sins. We'll heal their land. You say, well, I'm not part of the problem. Yeah. Well, in one sense, the word, if you're not part of the cure, you are part of the problem. That's pretty hard to say. That I don't want to be a mean preacher. But I don't want God's people to go around kidding themselves either.
Right.
You can complain about it all you want to. And most of the Christians that I know, and most of the good people I know, you talk to them 5 minutes, you'll hear them complaining something about some politician or about critical race theory or transgenderism or the wokes. You'll hear them complain about something. I said, well, what are you doing about it? I don't think God wants you to go in there and tear down their flag or burn their house or whatever. I think God wants you to get right with Him and make a difference. Pretty simple, isn't it? Wonder how many folks here today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to think about maybe using an altar, praying, making some decision in your heart between you and God. I wonder how many people are sincere about really would like to see America come back to God. I just wonder. And America's never been, don't misunderstand me. America was never heaven.
Right.
Never has been. There's wars, rumors of wars, and all those kinds. And there's always been crooks and alcohol and all these other things. But I wonder, will you let Christ have His way with you? I want us to bow our heads for a moment, with our heads bowed. No one looking around unnecessarily. But I wonder who's here today, and you'd say, Brother Lonnie, I know 100% for sure that I'm saved. I know that I've received Christ as my Savior. I know that I've repented of sin, called on Him, asked Him to be my Savior, come into my life, and I know I've been born again, and I'm thankful for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many can say that? Would you just slip your hand up a moment where I can see it and take it right back down? Thank you so much. That's most of the hands. Most of the hands in this room. I wonder who's here and you'd say, Preacher, I'm really not 100% sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. I don't want to gamble with that. I don't want to play games with that. I want to know for sure that I'm saved. I'm not 100% sure, but I would like to be. Please pray for me. I'm not going to point you out. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to send anybody to talk to you. I just want to pray for you. He said, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved, but I sure would like to be. Would you slip your hand up a moment? Just slip it up where I can see it. Take it right back down. Anybody at all, Preacher, pray for me. All right, God bless you. I wonder who's here today and you say, Preacher, I don't want to be part of the problem in America. I'd like to be part of the cure. If God would give me the courage and the strength to do it, I'd like to be one of those people who humble himself, pray, seek his face, turn from my wicked ways. I'd like to be one of those people. God gave those conditions. I didn't make them up. God gave them. I wonder how many would say, Preacher, that's the first. I want to be part of the cure. I don't want to be part of the problem. Pray, there's some area there, something there that God spoke to my heart. And I want God to be able to work through me according to His will. How many would say that? Just slip your hand up. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the room. You know, there's an altar up here. One of the purposes of the altar is for people to be able to come. It's not always come to get saved. Sometimes it's just come to make a commitment to God to say, Lord, I'll do it. I must just say this, and I'm not trying to pressure anybody. I don't run numbers. I don't keep score. I don't know how many people have been saved in my ministry. I know how many got baptized because we kept records of that at the church. But I don't know how many people prayed and received Christ. I don't keep a running total. But I'm not looking for a count. I'm looking for a humble hearts that are saying, I want to be part of the cure in America. Not just for me. Not just so I'll feel safer on the streets of a big city at night. Not just for me, but for my children, for my grandchildren, for the generations to come, for my loved ones, and most of all, for Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be usable. by God. Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. A lot of people said, I want to be part of the cure. Help them, Lord, to humble themselves and pray. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.